Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. Lee Keegan will be with myself and Rory a little bit later on to chat football, but Anthony Daly is with us now to chat hurling and a happy Clareman this morning as well, I'd say, Daly.
Relieved, Jackie. Nice to be on with the two Cork people.
We said we had to get you on, Daly.
It's a squally old Monday morning here in Clare, but no, look, it's a relief, I suppose, because it was a heavy week, Jackie, like, you know, especially my old game behind the bar, and that you have to listen to everyone, and it was just doom and gloom and why. And you know, the biggest one, that the one I left in most, I was like, why did we bring on Tony Kelly? And I just, if we lost it the way we lost it and we didn't bring him on, it'd be, why didn't we bring on Tony?
Yeah.
So, you know, look, ridiculous stuff in some ways. Unbelievable relief today to be right back in the hunt and have the destiny back in your own hands, I think, which is the major relief for Clare people.
Do you know, isn't it mad the difference a week makes, right? Because you're so right. Everyone in Clare is like, oh, it's, you know, crisis, it's over. And suddenly then they do that and you're like, right, okay. Now they can get straight into a Munster final. They'll have destiny in their own hands. Nothing has changed. Everything's fine. And they know they have it over Limerick. You know, for 55 minutes, they could have beaten Limerick as well. So I actually think they're in a great place.
Yeah, it's funny. Chat there on Saturday evening with Pat Ryan Doon, ex-Limerick, like, you know. And he was saying, like, if you lose those ones, you'd like to be playing again on the Tuesday or Wednesday night. You'd be just, you know, to put it right. And if you win, maybe you'd like an extra week just to come down and reset. Didn't seem to affect Limerick now, having won. But for Clare, I'd say they were just... And like, look, for me, Ever Quilligan had a good game, you know, in goal, questions. And I was questioning. Dermot Ryan in the second half really bounced back to himself. And more especially for us, the young hurler of the year, Mac Rogers, I think... An outstanding game, you know, 1-4 from play, a line ball, brilliant line ball. So Davy Fitz probably not quite back to his best, but got a great goal at a crucial time. So that, again, with 3 weeks now to work and hopefully get the Tony Kelly right, the Darragh Lohan back right, and maybe an outside chance of getting Ryan Taylor back right, things have sort of panned into Clare's barrow, whereas with Cork having lost a head-to-head with Waterford, Pat Ryan will be, you know, he'll be anxiously looking at Walsh Park on Saturday night, won't he?
Big time.
He was sickened, Rory, as well, though, because, like, that's a game. I think if they take one more of those goal chances, the game was done.
And they got on a great run just after halftime, Jackie. But, like, you know, hurling can change so quickly. So I wasn't reading a huge amount into it. It was about whether or not you could sustain that. Obviously, the sending off had a huge bearing because certainly the second Clare goal came about because there was lack of organisation in the defence and it was very, very loose at that stage and they were trying to reassert themselves. Now, I know people will give out about James Owens and the referee. Look, James Owens didn't put 326 on the board for Clare yesterday. I don't think Cork can have too many complaints on that front.
I think people felt on that though, Rory, 14 yellow cards is a lot.
It's a very fair point. Very fair point. And 14 yellow cards and one red in... I'll be honest, Daly, I don't know what you think, but it wasn't a dirty game. Like, it was played in a fairly good spirit, would you think?
Yeah, I tell you, Rory, I don't think there's really been much bad blood ever between Cork and Clare, bar my first night on the Sunday game, and you'll remember this, Simple Gate. And Pat Spillan, the presenter. You can't condone that, Anthony.
Oh, my God. In front of the kids.
In front of the children. Oh, man. But no, look, yeah, I would just say, like, on that, like, James, I just thought, I didn't get to watch it till 11:15 last night. That's another day's work. When we finished watching, Jackie, I didn't stay with you for the football, Jackie, sorry.
That's all right. But,
overly fussy, I would have thought. You know, I didn't see any kind of nastiness. There was a few little things broke out. That'll always happen, Championship Ireland. Do or die, everyone build it. But, you know, I just thought the contrast with Thomas Walsh's sort of refereeing in Galway, well, maybe it didn't have the same intensity and the same do-or-die effect. Of course it didn't, because we both feel they'd be in the Leinster final. But just overly fussy. Sean, I don't know who, a bit silly really. After making maybe the play of the game, lads, you know, to get back, to die full length, to block Mac Rogers, probably a certain goal, break his hurley in the process, and then just body check Shane O'Donnell, I suppose, kind of a leg trip, and, you know, just prevented his run. Just a bit cynical. Was it nasty? Was he going to hurt anyone? Not really. But just silly, maybe. Just to hold your head in that moment after making a fantastic play. I think that's the big thing.
Changed the game, though, Rory, didn't it?
Oh, it had a huge bearing. I mean, like, I don't know what Clare scored after that. Was it somewhere in the region of, it was possibly 2-6, 2-7 with, yeah, what, you know, 18 minutes to go. That you're always going to be fighting up. And like in modern intercounty hurling now, the teams are so good at minding the ball, playing the possession game. If you're playing plus one all over the field, they'll kill you. You know, every team is in that space. And could you fall to Cork yesterday? I mean, people might come out and be critical of management. Sure, they made all the changes that people wanted. They put more young lads in.
I actually thought they played very well.
People were critical of Patrick Horgan and Seamus Harnady and the older brigade. They contributed 2-13 between them. Patrick Horgan was probably Cork's best player. So, look, this may sound some way defeatist and potentially a little bit condescending towards the team or patronising in some way. But I don't know. Like, I thought they gave a really good account of themselves yesterday.
Yeah.
They came up against a very good opponent. They came up against a top-class opposition. And all you can say is, well done to Clare. They deserve their victory. From Cork, for Cork's perspective now, their championship hopes are hanging by a thread. They're going to depend on results elsewhere. But it's not looking good. And to be out of the championship effectively in April, I mean, I thought it was bad last year, getting knocked out on the 26th of May. We're not even making it to May this time round. So it's disappointing, but... you know, that's sport.
But I'd say that the frustration might be this morning now with lads, you know, getting their paper and their cup of coffee and stuff. Is in the space of a week, like you saw, the 6 changes, you know, and maybe they're saying, like, with 7 or 8 weeks from the last league game, and they finished the league very well, toe the Waterford game, why weren't the 3-6 in for Waterford? And maybe you'd have got a performance like that, because it was well up on the Waterford display. And the frustration thing is now it is hanging by a thread, and you're dependent now. Even if Clare lost yesterday, they'd probably have more of life in their own hands.
I think Clare could still make it through because to be honest, Dalo, I think Clare are absolutely the second best team, and I think they'll beat Waterford. Like, they've Waterford and Ennis. I mean, they'll win that game. The Tipperary match might be a bit more of a toss of a coin given the nature and the rivalry, etc., and the history. But, you know, I think Clare potentially now are heading back to a Munster final.
Yeah.
Want to be winning it this time.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's the next step for this Clare team, I think, though, Anthony. They've proven now they have a league title. They should have the confidence to now want to target Munster, and beating Limerick would be such a big thing at this stage for them.
Yeah, like, I suppose beat them last year in their own robin, and ultimately then the huge disappointment of the Munster final again, desperately tight. I think it was the whole nature last weekend, Jackie, you know, the 9 ahead.
Yeah.
This hasn't been the kind of the process that we've been used to with Clare and Limerick. It's been tit for tat. And all of a sudden we're cruising, like, fellas around me shouting 5 in a row on me behind, like, you know, and then we collapse kind of. But they're a very resilient group. And you hear Brian being interviewed and he always says the group. And that's obviously what came through, shining through this week, is the strength of the group and the leaders in the group. And, you know, I think it's a fantastic position to find yourself in this morning, given the gloom of the week. The league has been captured. That was the first bit of brass. But we want another bit of brass now. And I think Munster would be, you know, 28 years. Like, you know, I don't want to take it to my grave, Jackie.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. One last question on that game before we move on to the others. Do you see any way of Cork getting out of Munster, given the first 2 results now, Anthony?
Well, I think Saturday is massive. You know, I'd expect a rebound from Tip now. Cahill was strong in his comments. Obviously, there's a rivalry built up now from his time with Waterford. And I expect, you know, Noel McGrath probably start a couple more like that. Probably be a kick in him. Will it be good enough to win? Cork will hope. If Tip win that, Cork win their 2 games. Now, that's beating Limerick. But they have them at home. They have a fair bit to build on. 3-24. ironically, like if it's four, where did this break out from? 14-12 at half time. You know, yeah. If you told Pat Ryan he'd get 3-10 in the second half, he'd probably take the hand off you at half time. That's the main thing. Yeah. But it's again, like, I mean, it will be hard to pick it up. But I mean, if Tip go into Waterford, it blows it wide open, and imagine the boost the Cork panel will get then. Yeah. And I mean, could have beaten Limerick last year, very tight game, could have nearly knocked Limerick out last year in the Gaelic grounds. And no, I think Saturday night, but if you feel Waterford will win, then it's kind of, you know, Waterford have the head-to-head then, you know? Yeah. So that's going to be the, I think Saturday night is massive for Cork.
Yeah, interesting.
And last year's game, you'd hope, I mean, this is only clutching at straws from a Cork perspective, but you would hope last year's game where Tipperary very nearly exited the championship when Waterford cut them the last day out and no one gave Waterford a prayer on that occasion. So,
well, I think we'll all just be hoping that it comes down to that, you know, yeah, because I think you do want it to be do or die on the last day. That has been brilliant in the Munster round robin for the last couple of years. And a lot of that depends on Tipperary, Rory, because you watched them yesterday, an abject performance, 15 points beaten by, the wind looked absolutely wild in the Gaelic grounds, but that cannot account for their performance yesterday.
I never saw a Tipperary team so flat coming into a Munster championship. It felt very loose. It didn't really feel like championship fervour. It didn't have that type of spite in it. I didn't really feel Limerick had to do a huge amount in terms of, you know, they were coasting really toward midway through the second half. And I think it was some kind of second or third gear, really, you know, and that's not a great sign. I think there's issues in terms of the team structurally, in terms of the way the team is set up. He's obviously done a huge amount of chopping and changing. He's had difficulties in goal, difficulties in full back. Ronan Maher is obviously having to firefight there. It's probably not his best position. You know, like, in terms of scoring potential, did they even create a goal chance yesterday? Had Nicky Quaid much to do?
One big one.
Like, and yeah, that was it. Like, so it was a very un-Tipperary like performance. Was it the case that, look, let's park the Limerick result, let's just get in, get this done, and our championship begins next weekend? It's a dangerous enough game to be playing. So I doubt that was their strategy going into yesterday. It was as flat a performance as I've seen from Tip now in many a day, and very, very surprising, actually, in a lot of ways. I suppose the biggest story coming out yesterday really was the horrendous injury to Peter Casey, really, wasn't it, Jackie? I mean, geez, the poor fella. And he's had no luck with injuries. I mean, it was horrific, no, in fairness, yeah, and all you could tough. Do is wish him well.
Yeah, like poor old Shane Dowling was sitting beside me when we were watching it off air, and they're obviously best mates, like Anthony, so you're sitting there watching it. And even at the time for you guys, the whole air went out of the stadium. I think even for Limerick, you could see it in the players' body language. They knew they were going to win the game. They just wanted to move on and get out of there. But for him, it's just, it's awful luck given what he's been through.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. We were at the other end of the field, Jack, but we obviously have the monitors, and, you know, the Limerick terrace is kind of under us. And, like, they were just all looking up at us, you know, to know how bad is this, like, you know. And, it didn't look good. Chiefs was having a great game as well. He just had to bury in a magic goal. And, yeah, so sorry. I mean, you couldn't meet nicer people in the KCs. Bit of Clare breeding there. And but they really are now. So, because I know Peter from the old academy, and he's a great chap. And I used to be told always, you know, he'd be too small. And Mike used to be told he'd be too small to be a fullback. Like, you think of the two of them, like, talk about punching. But look, hopefully, just for him, I know John Kiley, you know, said it, that they're getting the best ever. You know, of course they will. They're nearly a professional outfit, and they will do that. Yeah, the game, you know, early on, I thought Tip were doing okay, 6-6 into the storm, and the storm got up from kind of nowhere, because while Galway and Kilkenny was on, there wasn't that windy. But I tell you, you knew about the wind standing there.
I could see your papers were hanging on for dear life.
Joanne was comparing it to Clonus for a finish, like, places like that, you know. So, but no, it was 6-6. Then it was 8-6, and it hung at 8-6 for about 2-3 minutes. And you just felt Limerick started to swallow him on a few puck outs. And I just saying it up there, like, the next, from this to 35 or 37 or whatever he'll play, are absolutely monumental now for Tip. And they got it out to 12-6. Fair enough, Jason Ford got a free to make it 12-7. But even at 12-7 with Limerick and the wind, you don't feel they have a stranglehold gotten it, like, in moment after. Then they brought on Noel and they brought on Bonner, and they got 2 points in a row, 15-11, wind at the back. Then Galan comes up with that super play. Now, from Cal's point of view, the disappointing thing then is the way they sort of folded up tint at that stage and decided, no, this isn't our day, we'd be better here, and they got a hiding then. You know, so that's the concerning thing in a week, like that you didn't fight on 1:15 to 11. Let's go up and get the next 2 points. Look at Kilkenny. I know we'll get to that. You know, they conceded 2 sucker goals, but they come out and get the next 2 or 3 scores. Tip seemed to just decide, nah, they're bad again. Limerick do it to us again. And that's the worrying thing from Tip point of view. And it was their leaders there at that stage. And I suppose, as Joanne did say, like, if you're looking to Noel and to Bonner to keep being the leaders, that's a worrying point of view. So, yeah, it's a big week for Tip. It was a big week for Clare. It's a huge week for Liam Cahill and this group.
And Delo, the one, it's only a small point now. And again, we're clutching at straws, we'll say, from a Cork perspective. But if 3 teams finish level on points, scoring differences comes into it, and getting Hyden's is no good.
No, it could be huge. Or even it might stand to Cork if things turn around for, you know, if Tip beat Waterford, Cork, you know, beating 3 points and 2 points, that, you know, it mightn't be fatal, you know. So, yeah, Limerick, once they got into the gear, they were good. Like, you even look at Adam English off the bench, like 4 points in play, like, and he's probably the one that's not affected by Peter Casey's injury. You know, he wouldn't have known how serious it was, but he's just coming on once to say, hey, I'm Adam English here, I want my place. And he nails 4, and he's gone up the pecking order. You didn't see Seamus Flanagan, whether there's an injury or not, but Kylie holds all the aces there, doesn't he? But yeah, look, they're in the pole position again now, 2 from 2, a couple of weeks off. So yeah, they look as strong as ever. And the half-back line again for me was just phenomenal. Declan Hannan, lads, is getting back to frightening levels. I mean, I think if we were probably to nail it down to men of the match kind of territory, Hannan was in the top 3, like. And that's, you know, people were saying, will he get back to his best certain age? And, you know, look, Graham Mulcahy off the bench buzzing as well. So the hunger seems to be still there.
Yeah, good stuff in Munster. Let's move on to Leinster then, lads. And look, we could easily jump in and talk about Kilkenny, Galway, but actually the biggest result of the weekend is the one that affects everything, Anthony. And you look at what Antrim have done, turning over Wexford. I don't know if anybody saw this. I don't know if anybody saw it coming, but it seems to me that Antrim have just said, hang on a second now, nobody's talking about us in this race to get out of here. Suddenly they've thrown themselves right in the mix here.
Yeah, funny enough, Jack, all winter kind of I said there'll be an upset that Antrim or Carlo will catch. And it's not maybe a massive upset. We'll catch Wexford or Dublin in the home game. But I have to say, I got watery then last week after a 32-point beating in Nolan Park.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, and the Dunleavy lads not back until later in the year, and maybe they're just behind where they were the last 2 years. Fairness to Darren, he was very emotional afterwards, Darren Gleeson. And I think that they felt, you know, that they had to stand, and they watched it. I watched the Jay go. It was nice to be able to watch it. That's the thing with the Jago thing. I'd love to be able to watch the matches yesterday. We couldn't. There was a slot there on Saturday night. I think we definitely could have had Clare and Cork or Kilkenny and Galway. But I watched it. It was lovely to watch it. And they really stood up. And they Lee Chin. If you took Lee Chin out of Wexford, they probably would have done it easier. So, yeah, worrying times for Keith Rosser, I think. And now for Antrim, as you say, it sets up potentially a winner-take-all in Parnell Park with the Dubs, because they'll fancy Parnell. All their club teams play super there in All-Ireland Club semi-finals, and they like the thought of it. They'll get better as well now, because obviously the Dunleavy boys now back in and getting fitter and more ready. And yeah, they had massive performances, I suppose. Sean Elliott, Jared Walsh, what a sideline ball to put him ahead. Yeah. You know, full intent on putting it over. You saw the way he lined it up. So yeah, thrill for them as well, you know. For Wexford, it is a bit worrying. Maybe we read too much a little bit into league form. That, you know, things are, they are trying to blend young lads with more experienced lads, and that can be difficult for a while. But it's a big body blow to them, and it makes Saturday night now really magnified against Galway. They have to try and perform.
Yeah, it's huge. Because, you know, Neil McManus was saying to me yesterday, Rory, he was like, look, okay, I know they took a hiding the previous week and everybody will say, what are they doing up there, you know? But actually, his point was, Darren was targeting this game. He had this one in his mind and said, look, I don't actually care what happens the first week, because if we win this game, it doesn't matter, you know? And like, in a way, it's probably risky, but actually now that it's paid off, you'll say, geez, he's a genius. Fair play, like, you know?
Yeah, big time. And I suppose there is a little bit of an extra a comfort blanket in Leinster in that you 5-round-robin games as opposed to 4. So you can target specific matches and you can kind of play in your own competition. Would Antrim have said to themselves at the beginning of this campaign, can we make a Leinster final? I doubt it. I think they'd be realistic enough to realise that Galway and Kilkenny are a good bit ahead, but they could have absolutely targeted getting into that third place playoff, because Dublin hurling has regressed. The big issue for me was where Wexford have gone this year. I was expecting a lot more from them. And we've seen this from Wexford in the not too distant past. Last year, caught by Westmeath. They have that bogey performance in them every now and again. But like, I don't know if they, I think the credit here has to go to Antrim. They made home advantage pay. They got their selection right. Love the black shorts. The black shorts are dead cool. I think they should stick with those. Yeah. And they have a great chance now of making knockout hurling for the first time since the round robin came into existence. There's chances are they won't be in that relegation battle now to go back down to Joe McDonagh, like if they can build on this, obviously. And I think it's a huge shot in the arm for them, because I think sometimes people do tend to forget, like hurling in Antrim, as we all know, it's a bit like hurling on an island. You know, you are very isolated up there. It can be difficult to progress and improve the game. It's very, very specific to a certain part of geography in and around the Glens and up sort of the north end of the county. So even in terms of getting challenge matches, prepping games, I can imagine the driving and the amount of travel that Darren Gleeson has had to do. He's probably endured some really, really tough times. And I suppose, look, the result on Saturday makes it all the worthwhile. And like, you could just put off your... It's arguably the result of the weekend in many ways. Yeah. And fair play to them.
Yeah, I think it is. And the interesting thing now is, Anthony, what happens with them against Dublin? Because, you know, yeah, Rory makes the point there that Dublin have regressed. What have you made of what Micheál is doing? And do you actually think that game now has the potential to go either way?
Yeah, you Dublin will still be favourites, you know, home. And I suppose their pedigree, they've been in the top three last year. And yeah, it's just, I think for Micheál, a bit difficult. The younger brigade, like, they're decent. But is there really star, you know, all-star quality in there? But the big thing for him is some of the older brigade have really started to get fit. I don't mean get fit as in aerobically, I mean injury-wise. Mm. And he had huge performances, we'd say, from Dara Gray, who's had niggles. Owen O'Donnell, well, you know, out to wing-back and was above in the square for the square ball that they were lucky to get. Conor Burke, huge game. And Danny Sutcliffe, like, what a warrior Sutcliffe still is for them. And, you know, when they got the 4 points up, he back in defence then and breaking up stuff. And then, obviously, for them, that's what they need. They need a few of the younger fellas, you know, the two Hazes. They need a couple of those guys, David Keogh, these guys to step up. But they have it in their own hands now. They're on 3 points. You know, they went down an unlikely draw with 5 minutes to go in Wexford. And got the win in Carlow. Two sticky away games. So, in lots of ways, you'd say things are going okay. But they probably were fortunate enough to be as cosy looking as the scoreboard in Carlow. I mean, the square ball. And Sean Brennan made an incredible save as well. And would have put Carlow back in front. And couldn't see that, obviously. But I was on the way to another thing in Tipperary. And Carlow...
It was 13-9 Carlow. It was 13-9 Carlow at half-time.
Carlow, the KLR or whatever they're called. Kilkenny Carlow Radio. The commentator, like, if you ever heard Bias Brendan, I can't think of his second name.
Brendan Hennessy,
living every ball, you know, and they're really proud of their hurlers, and they've really made great progress under Tom O'Leary, and they could have stolen, and Wexford have to go in there as well, remember, and we know how close Wexford were to the trapdoor last year, so it could be a massive one as well in the whole context of hurling in 24.
Yeah, let's talk about the top two then, Rory, because I think it's hard to know whether it's a desperate missed opportunity by Galway, or given that they had a point given to them that was clearly wide, they had a very lucky goal. I don't know how Henry is going to be feeling this morning, but to me, my initial feeling was at some point you got to stand up and beat Kilkenny. And I thought that was a huge opportunity for them to do that yesterday.
They've been in that situation before at home and down in Nolan Park. And obviously last year's Leinster final, I mean, what a game that was to let slip. They will meet again. And it still is largely a lot of the same players that he's going to have to go back to. A lot of the more experienced players that he's still kind of drawn from. Conor Cooney's, David Burke's, Dahi Burke's. So I don't know. I mean, I just don't know where Galway are. I don't think we'll find out where Galway are until probably much later in the year. They will be in an All-Ireland quarter-final. That should be the bare minimum, which should be played at lunchtime. on a Saturday, which comes back to Dalo's point, which I do think, and in fairness, like the lads spoke about it yesterday on the programme, and I know it's garnered an awful lot of traction today. The glut of fixtures all on top of each other, it is a problem. I think the GAA really now just need to accept this does not work. It does not work, and they need to accept it, and they need to figure out what they can do to try and fix it, because to have Galway Kilkenny going up against Cork Clare, going up against Limerick Tip, going up against God knows what else, and to have all that going on, that is not proper games promotion. And surely they know that.
Yeah, agreed. I totally agree. And look, that is for the GAA to work out, which we do not have time to get into now. But just on that point about the meeting again, Anthony, and what they might have learned from yesterday, who's coming away there thinking, right, I have it sorted now?
Yeah, like a lot of lads would have said probably that, you know, a real advantage Kilkenny, because everyone's at Galway with the team that out, the bench even, and Derek Down, Cody, Mullen, Carey, Murphy, yeah, definite four first choicers, that Galway would have to win at home. Kilkenny did all the hurling, didn't they? Like, they stole a draw, really, Galway. But the only thing that with that is I firmly expect them to meet again in a Leinster final, and Henry might be able to say, when are we going to stand up against this crowd here? Let's come on. Like, you know, through last year's final, and we let them into Salt Hill, and we were haunted to get a draw. And are we going to stand up against this crowd? Like, from Ling's point of view, like the performances of Mossy Keown, John Donnelly, Tom Phelan, they just aren't they an awful template, like, for everybody? They give away the goals, they go up and get the next 3 or 4 points. You know, as I mentioned earlier, like, Tip give away the goal, heads drop, Kilkenny just don't win the next ball, go after it again, and incredible. And the 10 minutes before half time, the hurling they did, they're an unbelievable crowd. But they'll be anxious, missing has to be back, though.
Yeah,
whatever they have, Jackie. Yeah. If you could bottle it and sell it, you'd be a wealthy person. Like,
Yeah, they're special. They really are. Right, lads, we'll have to leave the hurling there. Dalo, enjoy the week. And Clare are kings again.
Oh, we're not kings, but we're back somewhere on the zone, Jackie. And we're relieved to be. That's what I'm saying. It was no triumphalism up here. Just relief that we're back after the week. And maybe when I open up today, it'll be more pleasant chatting about who did what good and what not, like last week wasn't easy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, thanks a million for being with us.
He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.
All right. Well, Lee Keegan is with us to chat football now, and maybe doesn't feel like the highs of what we've had over the last couple of weeks. Donegal, Tyrone, probably the standout fixture, Lee, and more extra time for Tyrone. They love it there. They seem to.
Yeah, well, that's probably what caught them then, Jackie, to be honest. Yeah, it was a game built, I think, around, you know, the kind of the two teams and what Jim McGuinness has brought to Donegal. I'll be honest, I thought it lacked a lot of quality in terms of a spectacle. Yeah, it was exciting, dramatic, but I felt a bit sorry.
Exciting, that might be pushing it.
Towards the, it finished excitedly, Joe, like, yeah, dramatic finish, but like, I thought the quality overall, and I do have a little bit of sympathy for Tyrone having gone to extra time, yeah, in a brilliant game last week, having to come up against Donegal with the high of beating Derry and then missing some of your big players like Peter Harris and Conor Myler, and you know, and for 45 minutes, they got a lot of it right, but I did have a bit of sympathy. They looked dead in their legs after that, to be honest. And Donegal got a second gear, a second wind, and they kind of blew them away probably in the second half and into extra time. Now, listen, they did well to claw on there, and Tyrone did, but just didn't get enough. And Donegal, with the running power they have and the way they're playing the gym, probably deserved it overall, I think.
I think for Donegal, Rory, it seemed to me like even from early on, it was all about Ulster. Jim McGuinness bought into it. The players bought into it. Yeah. And it, just the way that they've gone after this, they've gone so hard from so early. And yeah, maybe they'll be rewarded with an Ulster title. But my God, they've had to fly through Derry and now Tyrone. It just, even from such an early stage, it just seems so attritional for them.
And meeting Armagh for the third time already.
Yeah.
You know, because they met obviously in the league, they met in the league final, and now they're meeting in the Ulster final. So that's building up quite the nice rivalry there between Jim and Kieran McGeaney. I think what will please Jim McGuinness is they won playing slightly, it was a different type of game. To like the Derry game was like a mugging where they just caught Derry on the night with something that was obviously, it was pretty obvious for anybody that had been watching Derry was prime for exploitation. But I think that was one way of playing it. I think yesterday they really had to dig it out. I'd have a huge amount of sympathy for Tyrone. I mean, to play 200 minutes of championship football and not even make an Ulster final, very hard going.
Given what some of the other counties like Kerry, Dublin, the way they're cantering through, I totally agree.
Yeah, like, and you know, they may argue, and there may be a flip side to this. It is a young team that's in a massive transition. They've had to cope with a lot of injuries, so they've had to blood a lot of players. So, look, there is potentially an argument to be made. Look, this will benefit these players in the long run. But I think from Donegal's perspective, it was a good, solid win to get through that game. Like, they didn't look good at halftime. A few points down, not too sure what way the wind was like in Celtic Park, but they dug it out and showed that they can win different types of football matches. I think the disappointing aspect, I suppose, from a neutral's perspective, was the way both teams basically conceded the kick out, which meant you were going to be into that game of backs and forwards, which is very boring, very lethargic, and it can be hard to watch on the eye with that crabbing back and forth across the field, and where you have to kind of think things out. But I don't think Jim McGuinness will make any apologies for that, and I'd say he'll be quite happy.
I think Rory as well. I think we had the same game Saturday with Denver.
I was just going to say
it was worse. It was actually worse.
You're going to see it again in an Ulster final.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, you know, they're tight affairs, but that space and the structure that they're playing.
Could I ask you? Can that type of football win in All Ireland?
No. No, should Dublin have shown that they can? Teams are coming. No, but that's the reality. And
but maybe that's not their ambition now either. At the same
well,
time,
well, I mean, it's though. Well, yeah. I mean, like if you're really ambitious, but the point is, and I think we said it a lot of us last year. Unless you're willing to play with some risk, you're not going to win All Ireland. And Dublin show that they play with that extra bit of risk all the time, and they trust what they do. And yeah, listen, Dublin are a great team. I'm not saying that either. But my point is, that's not going to win All Ireland. It'll get you maybe so far. But a team like Dublin, even Kerry to some extent, would work around that and figure it out. And Dublin have been the masters of that over many years of when they've come up against that blanket defence, and they'll find ways around it. And they always have. And that's the template that we've grown to look at in terms of what Dublin have been able to do against Ulster teams. So I really don't think it's enough to win All Ireland. Derry might have a big say in that, but they do play with a bit more kind of attacking flair at times. They were the attacking numbers and defending numbers, like, Joe, it's all go world. Yesterday was just, it was slow. It was hand pass. It felt like a game of handball at one stage when you're watching it, you know, because there was so much hand passing going on back and forth. I just don't see how a team with that kind of style can win an All Ireland. And in this day and age, like, you know, so
if you take Armagh as an example. The way on Saturday, I mean, they look in better physical condition than they did even last year, I think. The way they transition the ball seems to be a lot faster, and they do seem to be able to put the right men in the right places. So if you are, I don't know yet if there are All-Ireland contenders, who knows? But I do think it looks to me like they've added a layer to their game. Whether they can beat Donegal now is probably the next step on that, because silverware to that team would be the changing of a game, you'd imagine. So what about them, Lee? What are you seeing from Armagh?
Armagh kind of frustrate me a little, Jackie, as well, because I keep saying every, I think they've some of the out and out best forwards in the game, and I just don't think sometimes the game plan suits their needs in terms of how they play. Like, you know, I know there's a couple of excuses for the league final stuff, but they didn't play well at all on Saturday, and now that's credits down that brought that kind of, you know, defensive blank, and I thought Armagh struggled for a lot of that game, and it'll be a good lesson for Armagh, I think. But I love to see them play with a bit more attack and flair sometimes. Some of the players have up top, and I'm such an admirer, especially Rory Grugan. I think he's a link around all that. I just don't think they maximize the use of what they have sometimes. So, but the good thing for Armagh, I think they're in a really good position this year, because they're coming off the back of probably a really poor performance and getting a result, where a lot of the talk is going to kind of mutter around Donegal and Jim McGuinness and where they're at and the revolution he's brought this year. And I think Armagh can work around that pretty well. And I do think for Armagh, I keep saying it, they need silverware, Jackie, and I do agree with that. I think it's such a big target for them. I think winning Ulster for them is huge. Like losing league final last year, I know it's Division 2 and you can say whatever, but it was a final last. Losing Ulster last year, losing some of the big games of quarterfinal, and that all adds up, and that builds kind of the mentality when it can get seep into your head in these tight games. And I think for Armagh, if they get over the Ulster final in a couple of weeks' time, I think that's huge for that group of guys there, and for Kieran McGeaney, because I think it's year 10 from now with that group. So there is a bit of pressure, and rightly so, because, you know, a name of that quality and the players they have, I think they should be winning Ulster at a given.
Mm. Interesting few weeks ahead in that one. And it does seem, you look across the board at the fixtures coming, and you've got Galway, Mayo this weekend. You say, Rory, okay, that's a Ulster final. That's a kind of final you're really looking forward to. The same in Ulster, because when you look at Dublin at the weekend, beaten Offaly, facing into a Leinster final against Louth, and even though Louth's result against Kildare is unbelievable in their context, you're still looking at that saying that's going to be a massive margin. Similar story in Munster with Kerry against Clare. So we'll be hanging on every moment of Ulster football finals, so we can give out about Donegal and Armagh all you want, but I'm telling you that is the provincial final you are going to watch, because Dublin beating Louth for another consecutive year is not going to be the toast of what people are looking for from football.
Definitely not. Although I do think Galway Mayo will give us a right good tussle, and how much of an impact it has in the greater scheme of things. They're both be seed 1 and 2 now, which I think is quite interesting when you look at the seedings, by the way, and where it could break down. You could have some really, really tough groups. But I think that draw is tomorrow, isn't that right?
Yeah.
That's confirmed. But yeah, look, I think if you go back to the league final, and if you go back to the final that Armagh and Donegal, or the round robin game that Armagh and Donegal played against each other, I thought that was a brilliant game.
It was, yeah.
It was an outstanding game of football, playing the Athletic Grounds. It was two teams that played with a little bit more abandon than what we saw from them at the weekend. But the reality is they came up against, ultimately, it's like the boxing phrase, styles make fights. If both teams decide to park the bus, it's not a whole pile you can do about it. And straight away, the aesthetics of what you're looking at is going to be impaired in a huge way. I'm not entirely sure if they will both do that in the Ulster final. Can Kieran McGeaney really go down that road? I hope he'd be a bit more of a gambler and take a chance and go after the Donegal. Don't concede the kick out. Push up. It's like Gaelic football doesn't need a huge amount for it to change from what we saw at the weekend to the game that we all know it can be. And ultimately, the concession of kickouts leads us into those real stalemate-type contests, which are very, very boring and very, very unappealing. I think Armagh will go after Donegal, and I think Donegal might do likewise. And that's maybe hope. And you could get a really good open Ulster final, but are we hope? Is what do they say? Hope isn't the strategy, you know?
But Rory, Donegal have killed the kickout because football is so flicker, Joe, because Donegal absolutely polarized Derry, right? Now you're thinking all these top teams are thinking, we can't do that. We can't sit up in this game.
We have to suck back.
That's the psychology of football. And it's funny, it's that Jim that's done it again, because he brought in this whole defensive thing and now he's kind of eliminated the sweeper keeper to a degree. And teams all of a sudden are thinking, we can't sit up.
That's very true, actually.
With huge risk, because you know what? We'll get caught. And listen,
Jim McGuinness has ruined football for the second time.
But it's mad how it plays. I hear at a club level as well, teams are nearly afraid because they're, oh God, can that be us that might happen to? And that's just what Jim does. But you need a lot of luck, and they got a lot of luck in that Derry game because they targeted. But if you look at the stats, and stats don't tell a lot for me in terms of the game, but the risk outweighed losing so many kickouts because they got 3-4 goals out of it. You know, so teams now, Tyrone probably in particular, although Sean Patton wasn't playing here, so they're thinking, no way are we going to concede a long kick out and look like or an inch 2 weeks ago, and the result is goal after goal after goal. So the psychology of it, it's mental, I think, and Jim, I do whatever it is about him, but he's done it again. And that's why we could see that, because it's funny, Armagh against Fermanagh went ultra aggressive on their kick out, and then it's they just did the flip side then of the weekend and said, you know what, we're going to concede it. So that's the whole psychology of the long kick out and getting caught. So
Dreadful crowd in Croke Park, though, Jack.
Shocking. That's what I was going to come to in Leinster, because I don't know, Rory, if it's a symptom of Dublin fans just saying, look, we'll hang on and we'll wait for a Leinster final and we might, you know, we'll be out again later in the year, so we don't need to. But even for Kildare Louth fans yesterday, which was an enormous game for both sides, if that was in Navan or Newbridge or Tullamore, like that place would have been absolutely rocking. It would have been unbelievable.
I don't know whether or not it's something to do with season tickets or premiums or some sort of contractual obligation that they seem to persist with putting the games back into Croke Park. But I would imagine, given the crowds that turned up yesterday, that this is definitely one policy that should be knocked on the head, particularly for Leinster semi-finals. Putting Louth and Kildare in Navan, for instance, yesterday would have been amazing, you know, even to play it. Like Tullamore, Portlaoise. I love Portlaoise. I think O'More Park is one of my favourite venues. It's just so easy to get in and get out of as well, given how much people whinge about access and stuff. So I think moving the games out to those, is, if, particularly Leinster semi-finals, is an absolute no-brainer. And that you would imagine, is going to happen, but you never can never be guaranteed. I think from the fixture maker's point of view, would it have been better served to put Louth Kildare as the second game? Maybe it might. Maybe that was something that could have also been looked at. But look, I think it was by far and away the most significant of the two fixtures yesterday. A bit disappointed from Kildare again. They're heading for Tailteann Cup football. I think that's... I'm going to make no bones about it. Tailteann Cup football, Cork flirted with it. And I will say it straight up. It would be humiliation. It would be an embarrassment to be in the Tailteann Cup from Cork's perspective. So I'm going to say the same in relation to Kildare. And I think you just don't know where they're going to go as a group, as a team from here.
I'm not sure if Kildare can afford to be embarrassed to be in the Tailteann Cup, Lee, because they have put themselves in this place.
A fair point.
The last 70 games, the flirting with Wicklow, as in like they got out of jail against Wicklow, and I backed out comprehensively twin during the week because Louth are better team than Kildare. They have an identity about them. They know what they were about. Kildare just looked like a shell of a team, to be brutally honest. And they deserve to be in Tailteann Cup. And I worry about them even in that, Jackie, to be honest, because will there be a fall off players losing interest? I think Tailteann Cup puts on great things, and I'm not putting that in a bad way. I'm putting Kildare. I'm just talking about Kildare. I don't know if the players would want to. And like even look at them yesterday. Biggest game of the year, with a potential place to play in Sam Maguire, and you go out and perform like that. I mean, come on. If you couldn't get yourself hyped for a game like that yesterday, regardless of the Croke Park or in your back garden, I was just so disappointed with them yesterday. I really was. And listen, Louth weren't even probably in full gear yesterday. I thought they were quite poor as well. Yeah, a lot of mistakes happening around the game, but they just had better quality, and that's shown. And I don't know how you pick that team up, to be honest, guys. I mean, is Tailteann Cup a success for Kildare? No, because I think that it's just been so embarrassing up to this point that I don't know where they go from here. They need to create something in that group, because for me, they have no identity. They really don't. I even the game plan they're playing, I don't think they know what they're doing, to be honest. And it's sad to see, to be honest, because
it is
sad. Like, I mean, like me flirted with that last year, and then Cullen Work turned that on its head. And listen, you know, they got well tanked against Dublin. But my point is, they're able to adapt into the Tailteann Cup, come out of it on the better side, and now they're competing at a much better level. I don't think Kildare can do that. I don't know how they do it.
With that in mind, Lee, right, can I ask you, given the success that they've had at underage over the last couple of years, like you look at that under-20s group, there's no doubt about it, they have the players coming through. Would you, if you were Glenn Ryan, say, okay, Tailteann Cup, if players do want to go away or whatever, let's see what the young fellas want to do. Like, winning a competition like that could be enormous for them. Like, it was brilliant for Meath.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're an under-20 Jackie, right, and you've won an All-Ireland medal, okay, and you're looking at your senior team, what draw is it for them young guys to see that, and what Kildare have done this year? There's not a lot of positivity going in there, and all they're getting is slated week in, week out, because they're not doing it. Yeah, I agree. I think if some of the finest players underage, but what do they see at their senior table? Not a lot to go with. Like, I mean, do you want to be thrown into the deep end there and be one of those guys that's not really representing Kildare the way it should be? So that's the question mark I had to have over them. Underage is not correlating to senior success. And because if seniors not doing well, it doesn't give the appeal to those guys to come in. And it's really disappointing, to be honest. I'd love to see them come in, give Tailteann Cup a right crack, but I just question where the mentality of that group is at the moment and where they're going. Where they are.
But I wouldn't even be, like, I mean, you look at they're in there, they're going to be in there now with Down, you know, Down still packs some sort of a punch. I think Sligo have made a fantastic progress there in that competition. Fermanagh, I think, are better than what we've seen so far. And, you know, obviously stop-start campaign in Division 2, but had some good results as well. I wouldn't see even say there's any guarantee that Kildare will win this competition. A competition that certainly wasn't designed for the likes of Kildare to begin with.
But sure, Wicklow should have beaten them. Do you know, and Wicklow will be ranked second or third seed. Do you know, so like, third seed, so there you go. And we'll feel like they should have won that game. So that's my point. I wouldn't even trust Kildare in the Tailteann Cup because they won't know themselves. You know, so if you're getting them as a top seed, would you be really scared? Absolutely not, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Just to finish off on the draw then, obviously for Louth getting into a Leinster final, what it means for them is they definitely know that they're playing Sam Maguire football as well. So they'll either be a number one seed or a number two seed if they lose.
Or they'll be number two.
But just saying, there's still the possibilities. But, you know, you're still looking at this draw, right? And I do think for tomorrow, like with all eyes on those third seeds, Derry in particularly, I even think if you're a provincial champion, if you're a Dublin or a Kerry or an Armagh or a Donegal or a Galway or a Mayo, you're still eyeing up them and thinking, oh, you could end up with a group with, you know, a Cavan and a Derry. Like, there's still a lot of people you might want to avoid there.
Oh, like, seeing Derry as third seeds is frightening. Like, I was laughing, would Mayo have been better off the last first Cavan? I've been seeing it, you know, so. But the one thing I say is, as appealing as some of them draws is, I would still love if we just had two teams go through. And then we'd have proper groups of proper championship football, and we wouldn't have this kind of safety barrier of, do you know what? Not sure about this game today. My ticket, the handbrake off, because I know there's probably someone below me that we're going to beat. So I think we're going to get some cracking ties and some cracking groups. But just because of the safety they have, I think it's just a bit frustrating from my end seeing that, because we've seen it last year and it came down to the last round, which was exciting. But then you go into prelims and, you know, so
one win, Lee.
Yeah.
You're in knockout football. I mean, a draw might do you.
That's a draw would do. And like, even if you just touch aloud, like, I mean, just say loud, like going into like Leinster final, like, where, like, I don't know as a player where my head would be at for that Leinster. Like, I'd be really delighted we're out there. And I think Ger Brennan has done an absolutely brilliant job from the kind of, you know, the controversy of where they were at the start of the year and people say they're going to go backwards. I think they've done brilliant. I really do. But I kind of, and I remember he made a kind of a joke, I might be in the Hill 16 with a Dublin jersey and a pack of cans watching the game. But like, it's how brilliant. Like, it was really good. But like, my point is, like, you're expecting them all in, okay? We remember last year. It's how loud then try and get themselves right for the group stages. Like, and they took a couple of heavy defeats. I mean, now they did really well against Mayo, I'll say that. But like, trying to get your head right for that, them group games is so difficult after having to play Dublin in Leinster final. So that's the side of things. I'm like, oh God, like, is it like they're developing, but then they're hitting a wall. So trying to get back up to that level again is so difficult.
The thing is for them though, Lee, if you look at, let's say, the fourth seeds in this, if you targeted one of them, you've got Cavan, Cork, Meath and Westmeath. I think Louth would feel they could beat any of those teams.
Absolutely. But what damage is going to foresee in the Leinster final? And we're all making the same assumption, and you know, we all feel the same way. And so it's just how loud recover after the Leinster final is going to be the biggest question. But Jerry's done great work. I would have tipped them probably nearly to go to end of Division 2. They really, really did so well. So I think that's the kind of pitfalls we look at with Leinster and Munster in particular going into these kind of group games. You know, even Clare, I expect Kerry to really up their performances now because they've been quite stale up to now. And I expect a big, big return this weekend in the Munster final. So it's how Clare and Louth react and get over these kind of, assuming these really tough defeats that they're going to come up against. So I'm excited for the draw. I'm excited for the Connacht final because for Mayo, say this weekend, you know, what's they come for that? And if they do get a tough group, how do they react? Because I think they're in that kind of 4-8 bracket of teams at the moment. So I think it's going to be interesting. And in terms of if they do get a Derry, how far are they away from Derry? Can they prove themselves from the league game to the championship game? So I think there's going to be a lot of questions around teams where they're at. And I think we learned a good bit last year in terms of how they're going to approach the group games, because you look at Galway and Mayo, and I use them as the prime examples. They absolutely decimated their years last year because of one bad game in that group stage and having to go to the prelim and then burn out and then coming across to Dublin for Mayo in the quarterfinal. So there's a lot of learnings from last year. I think teams will adapt to the group a bit better, but I do agree, Rory, even a draw or like one win kind of gets you there. Like, so it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Well, just to remind people of that draw tomorrow, your provincial winners will come from either Galway, Mayo, Clare, Kerry, Dublin, Louth, Armagh, Donegal. The provincial losers will be the second seeds, the third seeds, Derry, Tyrone, Roscommon and Monaghan. And those fourth seeds, Cavan, Cork, Meath and Westmeath. We'll look forward to it all and we'll leave it there. Lee, thanks a million for being with us, and to anybody who listens and watches, don't forget to like and follow wherever you get them. And we'll talk to you on Thursday, looking ahead to the weekend.
There's the whistle, it's over.